Blog Talk Radio.
Locker Room Show, and I am so sorry for actually the delayed start. Seems like we're having a little bit of technical difficulties over here in the studio, but We are alive and ready to go, and I definitely appreciate everybody who was able to join us tonight. And we got another action-packed content-filled show coming your way. We've had a couple of great shows recently, and for those of you who don't know, Before You Go Pro is a company that is solely geared towards teaching young football players the mental, moral, and academic responsibilities that come with being football players, that come with trying to get to a high level of football, whether that's from an NCAA standpoint or possibly a professional standpoint for some of you. With the shows that we recently had, we had one last Tuesday on stepping stones and using football as a catalyst for not just your career but also for life, and really being able to network and getting people to like you and getting people to give you opportunities on and off the field. And then also we had a show last week on Thursday with Mr. David Watts. David is the CEO of David Watts Consulting. He works with young athletes across the country, both boys and girls, as far as academic responsibilities, test scores, and the whole recruiting process. So we appreciate having David on the show last Thursday. If you guys didn't get to hear either show, please tune in to www.beforeyougopro.com. Click on the little microphone at the bottom of the homepage, and you can access all of our locker room shows from the past. And there's so much content and so many great guests that have been on past locker room shows that you definitely need to check that out if you haven't heard some of the past shows. So tonight is another great teaching topic that we've come up with, and whenever we come up with a teaching topic, it's geared towards helping young football players throughout their career. You know, this is something that I really feel strongly about because I've seen times in my own personal career and in others' careers where they could have used this rule a little bit more, or there's times where they did use it and it really played into some of their success. So what we're talking about tonight, you guys, is the art of humility. And I call it an art because it's not easy for everybody. Some people come from families where it's big and it's good to be braggadocious, and some of us come from certain areas where, you know, you got a little swagger about you, and it's good to tell everybody what you can do and what you're about to accomplish. But for others, it does come natural. You know, some of us are more meek or more reserved in the shouting of our own praises. And the art of humility is something that every football player needs to learn, because it's something that if you don't catch on to soon in your career, you're going to have to the hard way later on in your career. And I'm going to give you guys some examples of how that works. This topic came about because I constantly look at some of the examples that young football players have today, and I just don't feel like humility is something that is taught enough through your peers and through the examples that guys see on TV. And football is very much a copycat industry. And I remember it from my old playing days. I used to watch NFL guys. I used to watch college guys. And that's what I used to mimic on Friday nights or Saturday afternoons on the high school football field. And I'm here to tell you guys that not everything that you see deserves to be mimicked. There are plenty of players at the college and professional ranks that aren't really providing a great example for today's young athlete. And if the young athlete today isn't careful, he stands a chance of burning bridges or turning people off that he really doesn't want to turn off. So, you know, I grew up watching guys like Deion Sanders and Randall Cunningham and those type of guys And Deion was called Primetime for a reason, because he always put on a show. And the thing about Deion, and I think if you got him alone in a room and he was candid with you, he would tell you that, you know, being the older, respectable man that he is today, that maybe he went a little overboard when he was younger. But once again, you're talking about a guy who basically came from nothing, a single-parent home, and he knew that he had to take on this persona to get the attention he needed and the dollars that he wanted. But in today's age, I think the players that show a little humility, I mean, they're superstars on the field, but they show a little humility off the field, are the players who are the most revered in today's games. Those are the players that get the opportunities during their career and after their career. So that's what we want to talk about tonight. To a certain extent, your ego can be a blessing and curse for you. And your ego is what feeds into whether or not you're a humble person, you know, whether or not you can show any humility in the face of the camera. You know, if your ego is constantly telling you that you don't need any help and that nobody can touch you and that you're the man, then you may not be privy to showing humility around your teammates or portraying that you're humble in front of the camera. And unfortunately for a lot of young athletes today, that is the fact that is really shooting themselves in the foot. You know, you have to know when to be a showman and when to be able to turn it off. You know, a showman is somebody that can entertain. As soon as they step on the stage, the lights are on, the cameras are on, people are watching, and they're ready to entertain. But if you can't turn that off, or if you can't show a little humility once you step off of that stage, then there's a chance that you're going to turn people off. And once again, there's a good chance that you're going to turn off people that you don't want to. And what players today need to understand, and especially in a sport like football, is that nobody does it alone, you guys. There's 11 men on that field with you. If you're on defense, there's 11 men swarming to that ball with you. If you're on offense, say you're a quarterback, you know, there's people that have to protect for you before you can even think about throwing the football to a wide receiver. So nobody in football does it all alone. Nobody stands on the mountaintop by themselves and had nobody helping them get to the top of the mountain. You know, everybody has somebody that is the supporting cast. You know, as actors and actresses, we have our supporting cast. Nobody stands on camera in a film and speaks to themselves. And it's the same way for today's young football player. You had a coach, you had a teammate, you had even a parent helping you succeed along the way. And that is all the more reason to give credit to those people when people ask you or the media asks you, hey, that was a great touchdown that you made in the fourth quarter to win the game. Talk to us about it. When they ask you that question, the first thing that I want to come in your brain is all the people that helped make that happen. If you can start spouting off all the people that helped you get that game-winning touchdown, believe me, you are going to open up eyes, you are going to have new fans, you are going to have new people on your like page, on Facebook, you are going to have people oodling over who you are, not only as a player, but also as a person, because you were humble enough to set aside your own ego for a second and say, yes, I wasn't the only one that helped pull that off. I wasn't the only one that had their head in the game in the fourth quarter to make that happen. And trust me, you guys, it's going to pay dividends for you in the long run. Many people don't know that when you give to somebody, you actually get more in return. It's one of those hidden agendas or hidden secrets of life, is that when we give, we get more in return. And I look at humility and being humble is giving. You know, it's an acknowledgement to others that you didn't do it alone. And when you acknowledge others, trust me, you guys, you get more in return. And I've seen this reflected so many times in my own football career and in others' football careers. And I've seen it from a positive and negative standpoint. When you look at Wikipedia's definition of humility, they start to talk about the saint humility. I didn't even know there was a saint that was named after being humble and having humility, but there is. And when you look at the actual definition, it talks about an act or a posture of lowering oneself in relation to others. Conversely, having a clear perspective and therefore respect for one's place in context. And what I get from that definition, you guys, is that you are almost taking a little bit of a back seat to give credit to the people who may not receive credit. Once again, if I'm a running back or a quarterback, the guys who never get talked about are the offensive linemen. And trust me, it will go a long way in your locker room and a long way with the people who block for you if you just take a step back and you give credit to those who never get credit. You know, those guys who are in the trenches and they are blocking their tails off to make sure that nobody touches you or nobody hits you from the blind side. You know, if you give credit to those guys, they are going to be willing to run through a brick wall for you. And I know this because in high school and in Little League football, I actually was a quarterback. And you have to trust people to turn your back to somebody who's rushing off the edge that wants to take your head off. You have to trust that that left tackle, if you're a right-handed quarterback, or that right tackle, if you're a left-handed quarterback, has your back. And they will not have your back unless they feel like you truly respect them, you trust them, and you honor them. And the best way to honor them is to show a little humility towards those players. You know, the players who are humble, they come across a certain way. They come across to the media, to the fans, to their coaches, to their teammates as being a team player. If I'm somebody that is always pointing at my teammates as the ones who helped me get to that mountaintop, I come across to them as a team player. If I'm somebody that is humble, I'm easily liked. I'm somebody that my teammates, that the coaches, that my teachers, the fans, I'm somebody that is easily likable, somebody that everybody says, yeah, that's a cool guy. Because he is so about the team. He is so about everybody else instead of himself. You know, players who are humble, they also come across as very grounded people. And what I mean by grounded people, I mean that they are people that are confident. You know, they have supreme confidence. If I'm able to say, yeah, okay, that was a great touchdown, and I appreciate you saying it's a great touchdown, but did you see that block from that person? Did you see the call from the coach? Did you see the person who was studying what the other defense would be in at the time that they called the play? You know, if you're somebody that's able to turn the attention to other people, that shows me supreme confidence where, hey, I don't need all of the hype. I don't need all of the praise that you're giving me right now because I know what I'm about. I know what I can do, and I'm very confident. I'm so much confident that I can turn the attention to other people. And that's what we're talking about today, you know. When you see guys in college talking on camera after a game and they're showing no humility and it's all about their prowess on the field. It's all about their ability. Once again, it actually turns people off. So many people were turned off by the Richard Sherman rant after the NFC Championship game when he said, I'm the best cornerback in the NFL, and, you know, Michael Crabtree's a sorry receiver, and it just showed absolutely no humility. And he got killed on the social network, and he got killed in the media because of that rant. And he actually had to do some damage control after that to kind of get people to realize that he's a really good dude, that he's a Stanford grad, and not only a Stanford grad, but an honor roll Stanford grad, you know. And it showed a side of him that, you know, in the spur of the moment didn't come off well. We're all about branding nowadays, and in today's world more than ever, you know, as individuals, you're branding yourself. And as a young football player trying to get off to college, or a young football player trying to get a pro shot, your brand better be strong. Because it's not like you are trying to do something that everybody's going to get an opportunity to do. If you get a college scholarship, whether that's Division I-A, I-AA, D2, D3, or if you get an NFL or a Canadian or Arena League shot, you know, that is a company or a university saying, we like your brand. We like what you're all about on the field and off the field. And I guarantee you, if word gets around, you guys, that you're all about yourself, that you have no humility, that you don't care about others, there's a good chance that you're going to be limiting your opportunities. And that's why I thought this was such a big-time topic for us to speak about tonight, was because sometimes we don't know when to turn it off. When you're on the field and you make a play and it's a big play, let the world know about it. I'm the first one to say, hey, you know, you're an entertainer. Show the world what you can do. But you better believe when you come off that stage and somebody asks you, hey, how did you make that happen? Or, wow, that was a great play. Tell me about it. You got to dial back that ego, dial back that showmanship, and show a little humility. And if you guys can do that and really grasp what we're talking about tonight in the locker room, I guarantee you, you will receive dividends. You will receive opportunity on and off the field. You know, there's always been the term student athlete, but what we talk about in Before You Go Pro is business athletes. Athletes that are business-minded, they're business-savvy, they're always thinking about their brand, they're always thinking long-term, they're always thinking about networking and doing things strategically, not just for football, but for life. For those of you who may be trying to call in at this time, we do have a call-in number, but right now, unfortunately, once again, we are having some technical difficulties, so we won't be accepting any calls tonight, and I severely and utterly apologize for that. But once again, showing a little humility, you guys, can go a long way for you. One of the players that, if you're on your iPad or your desktop, or maybe if you're on your smartphone, you may be able to see some of the slides that we uploaded today that may be scrolling by on your screen. And one of the players that has always come to mind for me is somebody that is humble, somebody that really gets it. You know, he's bad on the field. He's deep. You know, he's got a serious swagger, and he's an assassin on the field. But when you talk to him or you listen to him off the field, he gets it. He always points praise to the other people on the team. And that person that I want to talk about is Russell Wilson, the Super Bowl-winning quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. Not many people knew Russell Wilson coming into the NFL. Unless you were a real college fan and you paid attention to college ball, not many people knew about Russell Wilson. Now, Russell was deep in high school, and he was a big-time player at NC State, and then he eventually transferred to the University of Wisconsin, where he took that team to a Rose Bowl right before he got drafted. And I always loved Russell Wilson. I just thought his game was so legit that I knew he was going to be a big-time NFL quarterback. And Russell Wilson's only about 5'10", 5'11". So many NFL teams passed up on Russell Wilson in the draft because the draft is all about measurables. It's all about the look test, you know, and we want our quarterbacks in the NFL to be 6'4", 6'5". So Russell Wilson didn't pass the look test. Even though he had credentials as far as stats, even though he had credentials as far as wins and losses, he didn't pass the look test. And so many NFL teams are biting themselves and kicking themselves in the behind because they did not take a chance on Russell Wilson. A matter of fact, he didn't get drafted until the third round of the 2012 draft. And when he did get drafted, there were already six quarterbacks who had gotten selected ahead of him. You know, guys like Andrew Luck, RG3, Brandon Whedon, those are all guys that have been selected ahead of him. And many of them had illustrious college careers. But guess what? None of them have an NFL Super Bowl ring on their finger. And while Luck and Griffin, you know, may eventually one day be able to grace a Super Bowl podium and hold that trophy in the air, he, Russell Wilson, is the first one to do it from that class. And if ever there was a stage, you guys, to say, hey, I guess I should have been picked a little bit earlier, or a stage to put all the attention on yourself and give yourself all the praise in the world, what better stage than being a Super Bowl-winning quarterback? But that is exactly the opposite of who Russell Wilson is. As a matter of fact, he didn't talk any about his play during his Super Bowl speech. It was all about the defense and all the guys, Coach Carroll, and all the guys who helped pull that Super Bowl championship off. So once again, you know, if ever there's a stage where you can say, hey, did you just see what I did? Did you see that I was only a third-round quarterback and we just won a Super Bowl? If there was ever a time to pat yourself on the back, that was the time. And Russell Wilson elected not to, which makes people looking at this great quarterback say, wow, I like him even more. He has some humility about himself. So once again, you know, Russell Wilson is a perfect example, you guys, of not only a business athlete, and the endorsements are coming. They're rolling in by the fistful right now for Russell Wilson, because not only have people realized he is a supreme-level quarterback, but they have realized that this is somebody that I would like to attach my brand to. You know, you guys have to realize if, once again, a university or a pro team or a corporate company wants to choose you, they're attaching their brand to your brand. If Nike wants to do something with Russell Wilson, they're attaching Nike to the Russell Wilson brand. If the University of Nebraska wants to offer you a scholarship, they're attaching their university brand to you as a young athlete. And nobody wants to attach themselves to somebody who has no humility. True leaders are people who can grasp this concept. True leaders are the ones that don't want to take all the credit. You have to remember, if you take all the credit, then you have to take all the blame. You know, so if I'm a winning quarterback in the Super Bowl, and I say, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, then that means that when we lose the Super Bowl, I have to be willing to say, look at me, look at me, look at me. Look at all the things I did wrong that didn't help my team win. So you guys always have to remember that if you're going to take all the credit, if you're going to take all the kudos, then you definitely have to be willing to take all the blame as well. So with humility comes leadership. You know, when you can point to your other teammates and pat them on the back and pump them up and get them going, that is the mark of a true leader. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this quote, and it's a fabulous quote, and I hope you guys really can get this quote. He said, "A great man is always willing to be little." And I'll say that again because it's almost contradictory when you hear it. But when you really start to look at it and dissect it, he is saying something amazing, and it speaks to humility. A great man is always willing to be little. A great man has self-confidence. And if you have supreme self-confidence, you are willing to be little. You are willing to say, "Don't look at me. Look at that person. Look at that person. Look at that person." Because I don't need all of your kudos. I want you to give some to those that you never give it to. I want you to give some to that special teams coach. I want you to give some to those offensive linemen and those defensive linemen that are fighting in the trenches, opening up holes so I can run a touchdown. Opening up holes so I can blitz the A-gap and tear that quarterback's heads off. I want you to look at them. Once again, a great man is always willing to be little. And when I did my research for this talk tonight, you guys, and I really hope this is sinking in with all of the young players, once again, have fun on the field. You make a big play, point to the stands, let everybody know about it. If you look at some of my old highlight films, that's what you're going to see. But as soon as you step off the field, as soon as you do that newspaper interview, humility. Remember, humility. Humility is what's going to get me a long way. One of the greatest coaches to ever live is Bill Walsh. And being a Bay Area kid myself, I watched a lot of Bill Walsh games and watched plenty of the 49ers dynasty. And I know that so many people had sorrow in their hearts when Bill Walsh passed away. But the thing that struck me as being absolutely ridiculous is when you sit back and you look at the Bill Walsh coaching tree, and when I say Bill Walsh coaching tree, I'm talking about all of the coaches that were groomed underneath Bill Walsh. You know, you have names like Dennis Green, Mike Holmgren, George Seifert, Brian Billick, Mike Tomlin, Mike Smith, the current coach of the Atlanta Falcons, John Gruden, Andy Reid. You know, you have Super Bowl winning and Hall of Fame coaches that Bill Walsh has groomed and taught and have been a part of his coaching staff. To have such great talent underneath you, in my mind, that takes somebody that is willing to listen to others, that is willing to learn from others, that is willing to take a back seat. Because Andy Reid, John Gruden, those type of guys have always been phenomenal coaches. And Bill Walsh wasn't scared by that. He was able to bring them under his wing, teach them what he knows, but also take a back seat and listen to them when he needed to, or learn from them when he needed to. And that gets back to true leaders have humility. If you're not humble, you can't take a back seat to anybody else. You're not willing to learn from anybody else or be taught by anybody else when you have no humility. You know, there's a famous picture that Bill Walsh has with Joe Montana, the Hall of Fame quarterback. And it's a picture that we actually put on Facebook, and it shows Joe Montana and Bill Walsh on one knee during the game. And I've actually seen some of the NFL films behind this picture where it was play before the catch, before the Dwight Clark catch in the NFC Championship game back in the 80s versus the Dallas Cowboys. This was a game that the 49ers were definitely not supposed to win. And it was a critical moment in the fourth quarter. The 49ers needed a touchdown. They needed a big play. And right when they needed it the most, you guys, Bill Walsh didn't say, I got this. He didn't say, let me call the play. He didn't say, you know, I have the perfect idea for this moment. What he did was pulled aside his star quarterback and said, let's dial everything back. Let's sit here and get quiet, and let's think about what we want to take place on this play. Give me your ideas, Joe. Give me what you see on the field. Give me what play you want to run. Let's draw it out. Let's plot it out right here in the graph, what we want to take place on this play. He dialed back that ego and asked for advice. He asked for advice from his future Hall of Fame quarterback because he had enough humility to. And greatness comes from humility, you guys. Great ideas, great thought patterns, success, steps forward. All of that comes from humility because you're opening yourself up to being taught. You're opening yourself up to learning from others. I had one experience where humility would have served me well, and unfortunately, I had to learn the hard way, and you guys will too if you can't really grasp this teaching topic that we're talking about in the locker room tonight. When I was a junior at the University of Colorado, I had spent 2 years on the bench behind two NFL corners waiting my turn. Colorado, as I tell you guys all the time, isn't the Colorado that you see today that's getting mopped up and down the field. The Colorado I went to had NFL guys scattered all over the field. Every time I went to practice, I was practicing against somebody who was about to get drafted. And when I was in school, we had two cornerbacks that were in front of me that were indeed NFL draft picks. So I was itching and waiting my turn to get my shot. And finally, those two players went off to the NFL, and it was finally my turn. And the very first game that I started with the base defense, and base defense means it's just two cornerbacks out there. Now, I had started in games as a nickelback, and started in the dime package when we played teams that passed a lot and we needed more defensive backs. I would be able to start the game depending on the formation that the offense started with. But my junior year was the first time I got a chance to start and get my beak wet with the first team defense, the base defense, when it was just a standard two-back, two-wide receiver offense. I was out there ready to go. And we were actually playing at Mile High Stadium, which is now Sports Authority Field, where the Denver Broncos play. And we were playing against Colorado State University, which is a big rivalry in the state of Colorado. And I was fortunate enough in my very first college start to become the defensive player of the game and get two interceptions and lit the world on fire. So it's the very first game of the season. It's early in the season, but I'm leading the country in interceptions, and I am just feeling myself. Coach Wood, you couldn't tell Coach Wood anything. You know, I knew I was about to be a top draft pick, and I was the man. And our next game was against USC, which was actually my childhood favorite school. That was where I wanted to go as a young boy. And we went out and played against Carson Palmer, who many of you know is now the Arizona Cardinals quarterback, and I didn't have a great game. And part of the reason I didn't have a great game was because I didn't have any humility behind the first game where I got first two interceptions. You know, I was already thinking that I was the talk of the town. I was thinking that I was the best thing since sliced bread. So I didn't study as hard the week before the USC game. I didn't work as hard in practice. I didn't itch to get better like I know some of you guys itch to get better every single day you wake up. And unfortunately, it was my downfall. And in the game of football, if you don't humble yourself, you find out the hard way, because the game has a unique way of humbling everybody, whether that's due to production on the field and somebody else takes your spot or due to injury. You know, look at what happened to Richard Sherman. He ranted in the NFC Championship game, and ended up getting hurt in the Super Bowl. And, of course, he was happy, and they still won, and it was, you know, toast to the town, and they're popping champagne. But I can guarantee you that if you talk to him, he would have wished that he finished the game healthy, but he got injured during the game. And there will be a time where somebody eventually replaces him. So football has an eerie way of humbling us all. But that fall from the pedestal, that fall from grace, is a lot easier to take when you're already humble, when you already know that you have room to improve. So USC game, didn't have a great game, and eventually I actually got replaced. Somebody that was a cornerback behind me ended up being in the game, and I was put on the bench. I was still the leader in interceptions in the country, but I was put on the bench because I wasn't producing, and I was hurting the team. And if I really think about that time in my life, I could have been a lot more humble. Because usually what comes behind humility is a lot of hard work and a lot of willingness to learn and be taught. So some of the things that you guys will learn in the locker room are just tools in your tool belt. They're nuggets of advice. They're things that you guys can take heed of and really start to implement. If you're a player that's already humble, then just keep doing what you're doing. Kill it on the field. Be humble off the field. If you're somebody that is constantly talking about yourself and talking your own praises and never giving any kudos to your teammates, stop it. Stop it today. You know, we all know the pretty girl in school that thinks she's the bomb and can't nobody, she puts her nose up to everybody, and she ends up not becoming as pretty as she really is. But there's that pretty girl in school that is just the nicest to everybody. She helps people. She shouts other people's praises, and she ends up being the homecoming queen and adored by everybody at the school. So you want to be the one with all the talent, all the work ethic, and you want to be the one that is balling on the field but constantly pointing praises towards others. Trust me, it's going to go a long way for you. So here we have four steps to kind of stay humble, you know, to kind of keep you on solid ground. Number one is keep people around you who don't listen to your hype. No matter how big you get, these are people that can always bring you back to reality. Even Jerry Rice said his dad was somebody that always brought him back down to reality. He could have a game with over 200 yards receiving, and his dad will talk about that drop in the third quarter that he missed. So he always had his dad to bring him back down to reality. Remember, you are never a finished product. You can always get better. So that's number two, is just remembering, hey, I can always get better. Number three, the long vision. Football is a stepping stone, and being humble during your career is going to help you use football as a stepping stone to get bigger and better after your career, because people will like you, and people do business with people they like. So staying humble is going to make you super likable to everybody you come across. Number four, no one makes it to the top alone. I hate the term self-made millionaire. There is no such thing. Somebody has to buy your products. Somebody has to give you inventory. Somebody has to give you some seed money to start that company. Somebody has to give you a shot and put you on stage. There is nobody who has ever been a self-made millionaire. So remember that. And hopefully tonight's show helped you guys out a lot. We won't have any outro music, unfortunately, because we are on a show which has some technical difficulties, but hopefully you guys got something out of that tonight. We'll be back on Thursday with the director and producer from Born to Lead, the Sal Anesi documentary. That is going to be an amazing show for you guys to tune into, and that's a very inspirational story. So hopefully you guys tune in Thursday night for that. Also, check out www.beforeyougopro.com. We have so much content for young athletes that are striving to be the best that they possibly can be. So once again, hopefully you guys got something out of tonight. Sorry for the little technical difficulty. And I will definitely see you guys at the top. You have a good one. Love you.